Chapter 12. I slept little during the night, despite my insistence the others should rest for our journey. My mind was a whirlwind of deep thought, concern, and worry. I knew we'd come this far, but it didn't mean we were out of the woods just yet. We had one more task to complete, and something told me it would be far more difficult than any of the others I faced before. I sensed it deep in my bones. I stood on a broken marble balcony of the Holy Assembly as I ruminated on the future of Scholomance and my women. It was a beautiful morning, and the sky was a deep shade of orange, tangled with clouds of magenta. I took a deep breath as I stood on the brink of the beaten platform, and I soaked up the early morning air and let the unholy chaos surround me.
"Good morning, my lord,"
a familiar voice said from behind me. When I turned around, Vanessa stood tall and proud, with Isabel by her side. A small smile spread across the professor's face when she met my eyes, and her wolf trotted over to nudge my hand. I welcomed the feeling, and I stroked her thick fur as she pressed her warm body against my leg. "Morning." I grinned as I stared at the dark-haired beauty from head to toe. "How are you?"
"Anxious, but also eager and concerned."
"I understand. I feel the same damn thing."
"You are all-powerful, my lord."
Vanessa cooed as she took a step forward and brushed a strand of hair out of my eyes.
"You do not need to fear for our safety. Together we can accomplish anything. And you will accomplish this third task just like you did with the other two. We believe in you with every ounce of our dark souls."
"I know," I said as I touched her hand, and her body trembled, but her eyes never left mine. "Oh, we'd better get going. Are the others awake?"
"Not yet, but I'll be sure to wake them up."
"Thank you," I said before I pressed my lips against hers. "Make sure to tell them to get dressed quickly as well. We need to go while the sun is burning bright."
"Yes, master."
Vanessa nodded. I watched as the tall and beautiful professor waltzed away from the balcony and through the disheveled throne room, with her loyal familiar trotting after her feet. When she was out of sight, I sighed and turned to look back at the burning sky. Suddenly, a familiar sensation crept up on me, and instead of staring out at a ruined palace wall, I found myself soaring past the hills and off into the distance. I was back in my familiar's wolverine body. "Oh, good morning, Alex," my voice echoed through our shared consciousness as we flew together as one. "How did you sleep last night?"
"I barely slept a wink. I couldn't stop thinking about the blood we spilled and the bodies we devoured. I'm still aching to feel that way again."
"You will, soon enough. I'm sure of it."
"Do you want to stay in my body while I hunt? I thought I smelled a herd of buffalo with a lot of babies nearby, and I'm fucking ravenous."
"That would be fantastic," I said, and I was smiling on the inside. "I'm longing to taste some blood as well."
"Excellent."
Together, we soared over cascading green hills, a winding, silver, snake-like river, and a small grove of trees. Before I knew it, Alexander dove downward and flew past thick black trunks and over tall yellow-green grass. In my familiar's body, I could feel his pulse throbbing behind his ears and in his wings as he batted them furiously, and we followed a scent that was only growing stronger. We were getting closer, and I was so hungry my stomach ached when it growled.
"Do you smell it, Cole? Doesn't it smell better than any of your cooked meals?"
"Yes," I growled, and drool was slipping from the corners of my lips. "It certainly does, and I fucking need it now."
"Welcome to my world."
Finally, I saw a narrow path and deep hoof prints embedded in the soil. The buffalo were nearby, and I was ready to tear into soft flesh, drink hot blood, and rip meat off bones. A few moments later, I saw a mass of furry hides in the distance, and we zeroed in on the smaller but still plump animals. Then together, Alexander and I extended our claws and grasped onto one of the unknowing animals. The young creature yelped in pain and surprise, but we were strong enough to pick the beast up and bring it high up into the air before releasing our hold and letting it fall down to the ground. A satisfying crunch followed, and the animal wailed in pain as we soared down and used our razor-sharp talons to dig into its soft meat. Burning feral satisfaction shot through my veins as the buffalo's black, fearful eyes rolled into the back of its head before it died, and the rest of the herd bellowed in fear as they stampeded away from the bloody field.
Let's eat.
We sank our teeth into the tender flesh of our fresh kill, and I drowned in instant gratification. Warm, salty blood flooded my mouth and slipped down my throat, and it made my taste buds tingle with fierce electricity. My entire body was on fire, and I relished in this almost orgasmic experience. We need to hunt like this more often, I said, once we licked our lips and ripped the last of the meat off the creature's bones.
Hell yeah! Now, before you ask, don't worry. The others have gathered their own meals for their mistresses. You'll all be traveling with full bellies tonight.
Good. Let's head back. We need to get a move on. Alexander agreed, and the two of us, bound as one, flew back to the destroyed Elder Palace. Then, as we soared onto the balcony, I slipped back into my usual body and took a deep breath. Fuck. What a morning. I looked down at my hands and studied the veins and muscles along my arms. My senses were in overdrive, and I was filled with newfound energy and willpower. I was rejuvenated and ready to take on anything. And if this was what being in Alexander's form made me feel like, then I knew I had to share my consciousness with him more often.
Master!
Penelope's voice echoed up from behind me, and when I turned around, the bright-haired Wicca was running toward me with two long orange-braided pigtails.
Vanessa said we should get a move on?
Before the orange-haired Wicca could finish her train of thought, she bit on her lower lip and looked at me with a furrowed brow. Then her full pink lips curved into a small smile, and she grazed my cheek with her finger as she giggled. What? I grinned.
Something is different about you this morning.
She purred with fluttering lashes.
I can't say what exactly, but you seem fuller somehow.
I just hunted with Alexander. I'm beginning to connect with him more frequently now, and hunting as him, well, let's just say it certainly makes me feel alive.
Like a rejuvenating potion?
Yeah. I nodded before I looked around. Where are the others?
They're coming. I think they're finishing up a quick breakfast, pulling up their hair, and in Akira and Revna's cases, sharpening their weapons.
Of course. Before Penelope could say another word, the sound of the women's voices could be heard drawing closer, and when they emerged, each one had her hair pulled back and glowing rosy skin. Their familiars were by their sides, and even if my bond with their animals wasn't as deep as the one I shared with Alexander, I could sense they were eager to continue our journey, no matter where it took us. Ready?
More than ready, Master.
Akira replied with her chin raised.
Wherever this tomb may be, we'll get there. And no matter what is lurking inside, we'll kick its ass.
Vanessa added as she bared her teeth like Isabel, and the other witches rejoiced in agreement.
I cannot wait to see you complete this last dark miracle and ascend to your true unholy throne, Master.
Samara purred, and desire smoldered like coals in her blue-green eyes.
Do we have any idea what could be lying in the tomb?
Beatrix asked, and it was a sensible question.
I can only imagine retrieving the DeFaro stone will be one hell of a task. It most certainly will. My mother designed the tomb to protect Lilith's body from both holy and unholy intruders. As you know, Cole, she wasn't sure who to trust at the time, so we certainly have a challenge to look forward to. And you have no idea what could be dwelling inside the tomb?
Nyx asked as she lazily cocked her head to the side.
Or even on the outside, nearby, anything at all? No.
Vanessa shook her head, and released another long, drawn-out sigh.
I'm sorry. I wish that wasn't the case. But I'm just as much in the dark as you.
It's all right. This is a task to prove my power and unlock the rest of my potential. And before long, I will have all the Wicca world bowing at my feet. We have each other and our skills. Together we'll be able to defeat anything. I'm sure of it.
Agreed.
Circe said with bright serpentine eyes, and her forked tongue slid out in a sensual manner.
I have all my faith in you, and thus, Master. As do we all.
Morgana added before her eyes wandered over to the balcony, and the sunlight shone across her face and illuminated the tiny freckles on her dainty nose.
Let's go. We should put this place far behind us. Where does the compass tell us we need to go, Master?
Let's see, I said before I pried the lid open and stared down at the spinning arrow. The gold needle shone brilliantly as it spun in long, wild circles. It was rotating slower than usual, but when it stopped, it pointed a steady north. Then I looked out over the balcony and saw a cluster of trees beyond a range of hills, and I knew it had to be the same forest I hunted in this morning. Wherever the tomb was, it was beyond the trees, river, and plains of green. I strained my eyes, and I thought I could see a dark patch of land with rocky ground and giant mounds of dirt and sand. It was just beyond the lovely patch of emerald earth, and even from afar, I could feel its wretched presence. "Do you see that?" I asked as I pointed ahead. "The red, there in the distance."
"Yes,"
Vanessa answered, and she shielded her eyes with her hand.
"That looks like the perfect location for a tomb. I had no idea Theodora placed it so close to the Holy Assembly."
Before I could say a word, a sharp pain stabbed my temples, and my vision altered. I was no longer surrounded by my women and loyal familiars, but instead I was gazing upon a younger Theodora, who at first seemed to be engaged in a long conversation with herself.
"My lord,"
the headmistress said, and a blaring wind swept across the dirt-covered plains.
"Is this where you wish to bury your mother?"
"Yes." My own voice echoed like a thunderstorm. "Let it be done. Let us mock the elders by burying her right under their holy noses."
"Thy will be done, Dark One. I will ensure that it will be impossible for any other being to pass through the tombs. Only you will be able to do so upon your glorious return."
I felt myself passing through time again as the headmistress's words echoed through my head, and before I knew it, I was back, and the others were all staring at me with quizzical eyebrows and small frowns.
"Are you all right, Master?"
Samara asked, and the former goddess's skin was warm when she reached out and cupped my cheek.
"Yes, I saw, just back in time. I'm the one who told Theodora to bury Lilith here. I had wanted to taunt the elders without their knowledge and place her on holy ground. But she's definitely here."
"Perfect,"
Morgana said, and when she pushed back her shoulders, a glint of determination shone in her sky-blue eyes.
"Then we should probably move. It will take us a day or two to reach it."
"Most likely. Come on." I whirled around, and together we marched through the ruined castle, past the piles of half-eaten bodies and stripped bones, and out the melted doors. A gentle breeze brushed our faces as we followed the compass's directions and pushed onward. The day grew warmer as the hours passed by, but no one dared utter a word of complaint. As we walked, I wondered more about my mother and my past life. Everything from the modern world was still scattered through my mind in bits and pieces, and I could barely remember what my other name was, who I lived with, who loved or hated me. All I knew was I was lost until I came down to Scholomance in a rain of blood, and that was when I finally found the family I'd always been searching for. And now, if everything went according to plan, I'd meet the woman who birthed me into this world, and I couldn't wait to catch a glimpse of her extraordinary power. Lilith had done well in her sacrifice, and it was time she reaped the reward of her devotion and loyalty to me. By the time we reached the borders of the rocky plains, the sun was setting, and the air was growing cooler.
Yellow stars were already beginning to glitter up in the color-changing sky, and the clouds were soft lavender and rose pink. We'd been walking for hours on end without one break, and by now I knew the women and familiars were dead tired. Let's make camp for the night. We've been pushing ourselves past our limits, and if we're going to enact a third miracle, I'll need my rest.
Thank you, Master.
Beatrix panted before she wiped her brow.
I wasn't sure how much longer I could walk. Me either.
Vesta moaned as she leaned down to rub her lavender ankles.
I'm not one for complaints, but what an exhausting journey. Not to mention filthy. Look at all this dirt. It may be arduous, but walking by foot was the safest bet. We have no clue what spirits, holy and unholy, could be spying on us.
By the first stroke of daylight, we should look for the entrance of the tomb. Then we'll do whatever we need to pass through its sacred entranceway.
Agreed.
Vanessa said before she flicked her wand and a giant tent appeared from thin air.
Now, let's sleep. And if I may, Master, I think you should do your best to close your eyes and rest. Whatever we may have to face tomorrow, I'm certain we'll all need our full strength.
I fully agree, I said with a slight nod. Now let's rest. The women slid inside the large opening, and the familiars gathered in a small pile just outside the entrance. Alexander didn't need me to remind him to keep guard, and when I stepped past the silky threshold, my women were already undressing and slipping beneath the heavy fur covers Vanessa created. I slowly unbuttoned my shirt, took off my boots, and slid my pants off. Then I crawled into the bed with my coven, and I relished their warm touches, sweet-smelling skin, and the sounds of their soft breathing. It didn't take long before I drifted off into a deep sleep. But unfortunately, my mind entered a disturbing place. In my head, I saw the entrance to a deep stone passageway. Everything was cold, and a giant engraved boulder blocked the entranceway. But when I reached out to touch it, my fingers were nothing but bones. My skeletal hands shook, but I tried to maintain steadiness before placing my bony fingers against the icy rock. Then a deep chill ran up my arm and penetrated my heart like it was being stabbed repeatedly by a small blade. The sensation was excruciating, but I fought against the power trying to block me out. I gritted my teeth, and as a cold sweat broke across my brow, I pushed against the bitter hard stone with all my might. For some reason, I knew I couldn't use magic, and instead had to use my own physical strength. But I didn't care what it took. I would break through this barrier and save Lilith from a lifetime of purgatory, or wherever the hell her soul was trapped. Because I knew, without an explanation, that this was the tomb where her bones and the DeFerro stone laid.
Fuck!
I grunted as I pushed harder.
Open! For fuck's sake! Let me in! I command it!
It took another moment or two, but I finally used all my power to bust the stone open. Clouds of dust poofed up and made my eyes water as the rock crumbled into pieces, and I nearly choked on the grainy debris clouding the air. I waved the dust and soot away, and I could just barely see a dark passageway. The air was cool and damp, and there was no light in sight. It felt like I was walking deep into a layer of hell. But rather than a sensation of relief or comfort, all I could feel was the fear of the unknown.
Turn back!
A voice suddenly called out.
You have no idea what you're getting yourself into,
another said.
Danger lurks ahead of you,
added one more.
Go back home! You don't belong here!
No. I'm going to enter this tomb. And no one in heaven or hell will stop me. I knew whatever world I was in had to be a mirage of some sort. It seemed both real and unreal at once, but there was some kind of spell trying to prevent me from taking another step, and I refused to let it control me. I'd do whatever it took to get through this fucking tomb and retrieve the stone to resurrect Lilith. She deserved it,
and it was the only task left to prove I was Satan, so I knew I had no choice but to keep going, no matter what these voices were telling me. My dreams seemed so real I forgot I was asleep for a moment, and by the time I took another step forward, the tunnel completely disappeared from my mind. Then I opened my eyes and sucked in a sharp breath of air, loud enough for the other women to hear.
"What's wrong, Master?"
Circe asked, and her serpentine eyes blinked at me groggily in the dim pre-dawn light seeping in through the tent walls.
"Was it the nightmare?"
I'm not sure, I said as I rubbed my throbbing head and wiped the icy sweat from my brow. It seemed more real than any dream I'd had before.
"Can we do anything to help?"
Samara asked, and the former goddess frowned as she studied my face in the dim lighting.
"Herbs? Tea? A potion?"
Vanessa added from my other side. "No. I think we should just get a move on."
"Yes, Master."
The witches agreed in soft voices. As we dressed quickly and quietly, I couldn't help but wonder why this dream felt far more realistic than any others I'd had in the past. When I'd touched the stone, I thought I could feel ice shooting up my arm and piercing my chest. It seemed so incredibly real. I wondered if it meant something. Was it a warning? Was Lilith trying to break through into my mind again? I had no idea, and the uncertainty of it all made my heart beat with dread. But I wasn't about to let that deter me from continuing our journey. Only death would stop me now.
"Go,"
Vanessa asked as she placed a hand on my shoulder.
"Are you all right?"
"I'm fine," I said, and I forced myself to smile at the stunning professor. "Let's go." Vanessa nodded firmly in agreement as we made our way out of the tent, packed up, and ate, and then followed the compass's lead. The rocky earth was hard on our feet, and we had to watch our step each time we crossed over a jagged series of stones, but the higher the sun rose in the sky, the closer I thought we were to reaching the tombs.
"How will we know where the entranceway is, Master?"
Akira asked from behind me.
"Everything pretty much looks the same to me."
Not sure yet, but I think... I started, but then I sensed a magnetic pull, dragging me toward something below a cluster of small, stony hills. "Wait. I feel something. Follow me." My coven didn't utter a word of disagreement as they trekked carefully and quietly after me, and even without the compass to guide me, we ended up in front of the same stone passageway I saw in my dreams. The vision made my body tremble, and the air caught in my throat, but I didn't let the others see just how disturbed I was. The coven was clearly shocked, though, and they collectively gasped when they saw the dark entryway. No one dared to take a step forward without looking at me first, but I knew what they were thinking.
Is this it, Master?
Beatrix asked. Yes, I said as I continued to stare at the entrance.
But someone has already opened it.
Samara growled as she lifted her hands, and her ocean-hued eyes darted around in search of enemies.
We might be in danger, my lord.
No, it's okay. I've already opened it. Let's go. A deadly silence followed my declaration before I took a deep breath and stepped forward into the cold and possibly fatal tomb. I knew I had to find Lilith somehow, but a sickening sensation also settled in the pit of my stomach, and it was telling me to turn around and forget about the third and final task. But there was no way in hell I would listen, and my coven knew that. There was no going back, only forward, to face my destiny and achieve all of my unholy goals.